Welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Glad that all of you weathered the storm. We're thankful for the rain, and we pray that everyone is safe. We have lots of trees and power lines and things down all over the city, and we pray for those who are working and protecting and serving us, even as we gather for worship this morning. A couple of words on our worship service. Our opening hymn is number 644, The Church's One Foundation. Heard that in our prelude. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. That's on page 151 and following. Two options for the hymn of praise. We'll sing the Gloria. One other note, we have a minor typo. The hymn of the day is The Gifts Christ Freely Gives, but that's hymn 602, not 666. 602. We'll make sure we make that announcement again right before we sing it. Hymn 602. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gifts that You freely give. The gift of family, the gift of friends, the gift of rain from above. We thank You most especially for the gift of Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection has won for us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Heavenly Father, teach us to be good stewards of all the gifts that You give and to acknowledge You as the giver of everything good. Lord God, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, the greatest gift of all, crucified and risen, to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 644. setting one, page 151. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Almighty God in His mercy has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day. To the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, Let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Lord God, let the hearts be God and Father. We worship You, we give You thanks. We praise You for Your glory. Lord,
God, You declare Your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of Your grace that we may obtain Your gracious promises and be made partakers of Your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah, chapter 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah, who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. Keep me fast the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities. But it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Gospel. According to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, He wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you, when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. And He entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, It is written, My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And He was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy Him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on His word. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We sing now hymn 602. Please be seated.
varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the epistle lesson just read from the 12th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Church of God in Corinth. Dear friends in Christ, what is more important, diversity or unity? You could hardly hear a more explosive question, especially in this day and age, especially in a week like this. If you want to see some excitement, just drop this question in the middle of a faculty forum at a major university, or a crowded newsroom, or onto the floor of Congress. And then quietly and quickly walk away. How you answer this question usually puts a label on you. Liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat, or anything in between. But the debate, you'll note, isn't quite that simple. Both sides of the aisle call for unity. You hear it all the time. You heard it again this past week. The differences come in how diversity plays into that unity, and then what kind of diversity are we really talking about? There, the debate lines are drawn. But not here to talk about politics. This division, this debate between diversity and unity is not just for the secular realm. It finds its way into the church. Foundational to the debates that rock Christianity in general, and our church body in particular, is this fundamental question. How much diversity in practice can we tolerate and still be united in confession? That question and its answer is the key to the worship wars, to debates over the service of women in the church, to arguments over communion practice, to just about every division that there is. What is more important in the church, diversity or unity? Now, St. Paul has as little to say about our political and social debates over diversity as the book of Daniel has to say about dieting. That is to say, absolutely nothing. But he may have something to say about the parallel debates in the church. And his solution is actually quite simple. You see it played out in our text. Diversity in the church flows from and is always in service of our common unity. For St. Paul, both diversity and unity are important, but the center of gravity is always on our unity. Unity in the one Spirit who gives all good gifts to Christ's church, the ones that we sang about in that hymn today, first of all, those gifts that deliver to us Jesus, the Father's greatest gift to us, His death, His resurrection for you. But then also all the other gifts that He gives. In their wide and amazing diversity, all those gifts that He bestows to individual Christians for the good of the whole. You see, St. Paul cannot conceive of a congregation that isn't diverse. Now, not necessarily ethnically or culturally diverse, though that certainly is and should be the case as the gospel goes out to the four corners of the world. That kind of diversity, as important as it is only skin deep. The great message of the gospel is that Jesus died for everyone. For you. And for all people of every nation, tribe, language, and race. And that such outward diversity that we should see in our churches actually has nothing to do with salvation or the gifts of Christ that He gives through font, pulpit, and altar. He gives them freely to all. No, St. Paul is thinking about a diversity that still exists among believers, of brothers and sisters in Christ. The kind of diversity that isn't abolished by the call of the gospel. The diversity that comes when the Holy Spirit gathers together into a congregation a variety of individuals, you and me, and gives to us different gifts. Not everyone is given the same gifts, and not everyone is given gifts in the same measure. The differences can be vast from one Christian to another. And St. Paul gives us a little taste of what this looks like in our text. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now that's a pretty impressive list, with some extraordinary and incredible gifts. But you know what? Let me tell you a secret about our text for today. The point isn't the list. If you leave this sermon today thinking that I need to go out and use the Google machine and find myself a spiritual gift inventory and find out where I fit on Paul's list here, you've missed the boat. And if you go home today and say, I need to find myself a new congregation, one where people are manifesting these wondrous gifts St. Paul is giving me in our text, then you're missing the point of what St. Paul is talking about. You see, the time of those incredible, extraordinary manifestations of the Spirit, that has passed away 19 centuries ago. Those gifts were for the age of the apostles, the first decades of the church, and we are not to expect them any longer. Indeed, it isn't even Paul's intention for us to match ourselves up with any list at all. Instead, St. Paul's point is that we recognize that we have been given different gifts with this key point. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good. That is why the Spirit blesses you and me with individual spiritual gifts. The Spirit gives them in diversity for the good of all. You see, a congregation that is filled with people who are exactly the same, that have been given exactly the same gift, is woefully deficient. Only a body of believers who has a variety of gifts can each one supply what the other lacks. The assembly of Christians can then fit together like a puzzle, or, to use more biblical imagery, we can be built together like a house. Or live, move, and have being as a body. Each part is necessary. Do you hear that? Each part is necessary. each part supplies something that the others don't have. Something essential. So no matter what gifts the Spirit has given you, no matter in what proportion He has given them to you, they are for the good of the body of Christ. The church universal, and then here in this place, amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ, here in this congregation. For all gifts, in their wondrous diversity, have their unity in the one who gave them, the Spirit. He gives the foundational gift, the gift from which all others flow, the gift of faith, which gives you Jesus. I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, "Jesus be accursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except in the Holy Spirit. There's no room for looking down on any in the church for being somehow sub-Christian or maybe not a Christian at all, because they don't seem to have that much or anything in the way of spiritual gifts. The fundamental, foundational, vitally important, necessary spiritual gift is the gift of faith. Faith which confesses Jesus as Lord. Faith which looks to Jesus crucified and risen for you, for your salvation. No other gift is possible without this one. And every other gift, as wonderful as it may be, is secondary next to it. For this gift makes you a part of the body. This gift makes you fit building material for the house. This gift makes you a part of the kingdom of God, for faith grasps hold of Christ and His promises. And this gift by the Holy Spirit, this faith created in you by the Word and the Holy Sacraments, brings you Jesus. It takes hold of His death, His resurrection for you. You cannot be saved without it. For the forgiveness of sins, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is received only by faith. And faith is no work of yourself. Faith itself is the Holy Spirit's greatest gift to you. Mute idols can make no one speak. Dead men cannot make themselves alive. But the Spirit has come to you and has done both. He has put you to death in the font, raised you up alive in those blessed waters, and He has given you faith to confess your Savior's holy name. Jesus died for all. Every nation, tribe, language, and race, all humanity, despite our diversity, has two things in common. We are all sinners, and Jesus died for us all. And all Christians, despite our diversity in the gifts that the Spirit has given us, are unified in this single fact. The Holy Spirit has created faith within us through the Word and the Blessed Sacraments. And we are members together of the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters of one another, brothers and sisters of Christ. That is our unity, given in this one spiritual gift. The one that comes before all others, the gift of faith, which takes hold of Jesus. No other spiritual gift saves. No other spiritual gift brings you Jesus. Every other gift is for the good of the body. They don't make you a Christian. This one does. So there's no room for bragging or boasting in the church. There's no room for looking down on others with regard to any sort of spiritual gifts. For in common, we have the greatest one. Faith, which delivers to us Christ's blood-bought treasures. And then every other gift is exactly that, a gift for the good of the body of Christ. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Spiritual gifts are not ours at all. They're gifts entrusted for our use. They're for the good of the body of Christ. That's why the Spirit gives them. Now, the problem with the Corinthians was that they held some gifts more highly than others, speaking in tongues. And then they looked down on those who didn't have such extraordinary gifts as somehow less than Christians, or maybe not Christian at all. Their life as a congregation was a competition to see who was more Spirit-filled than others. Maybe you've seen churches compete that way these days. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. The Spirit is interested in variety. Variety for the sake of the whole. He determines how He gives His gifts. It's not me as your pastor. It's not the church council or the board of elders. It's not you who determine how the Spirit will gift you. It's the Spirit's task. And He does this for a specific purpose. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Dear friends, it's not our church. It's not our congregation. It's Christ's church. And it's His congregation. And He has sent the Spirit first to deliver His forgiveness in your midst. He did it again this day. He's going to do it again this day in Christ's body and blood. And so He sends His messengers forth to declare to you, you are forgiven. Turn away from your bragging, from looking down on others. Repent and hear the gospel. Your sins are forgiven. Those are the gifts that Christ freely gives, that the Spirit bestows on you. And then, the Holy Spirit, in His wondrous abundance, gives the spiritual gifts necessary for building up the body of Christ in this place and then around the world. So there's no need to run home and take an inventory today, but it is worth thinking about. How the Spirit has blessed you with certain gifts, and how those gifts may be used for the service of the common good, for the good of your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. These gifts always serve the good of the whole. They're never for our personal use, and they are never to be exercised apart from the Word of God. For example, if someone thinks that they have the gift of preaching, well, first, they should consult Scripture's qualifications for a pastor. And then, if they are qualified, seek out the church's order of putting a man into the office of preaching. In the same way, we can have all the diversity that we want in practice only if such diversity doesn't threaten our unity, the unity of our confession founded on the Word of God. Diversity in the church must serve unity. Our variety of gifts are to be used for the good of others in accord with God's Word. So what is more important? Diversity or unity. Throughout our text, there's a pattern, a cadence, back and forth between diversity and unity, diversity and unity. But in every case, the emphasis is on the latter. One Lord, one Spirit, one God. The diversity that we find in the church flows from what unites us. Our common confession that Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit's gift of faith, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in our place, on your behalf, and the same triune God to which you now belong as children. The blessed diversity that we find in the church serves the common good, the unity of the whole. Diversity serves unity. It never rules over it. For we have one Scripture, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Jesus who died for you, one Jesus who rose for you, one Jesus whom you confess as Lord by the one Holy Spirit who gives you every good gift. In the name of Jesus, amen. Having heard the word, we confess together in unity our common Christian faith. In the words of the Nicene Creed, we stand.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten.
Of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy God, you will that your people be holy as you, O Lord, are holy. We give you thanks and praise and glorify your name that you have cleansed your church, the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, and have made us to be holy in him. Preserve us holy and sanctified before you through our daily repentance and your holy absolution, word and sacrament, that we may lead pure and honorable lives to your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve your church as a house of prayer and protect us from the love of money, worldly power, pride, selfishness, that our delight would always be on the proclamation of your life-giving and life-changing word, so that many would be brought by the Spirit to faith. Defend your church throughout the world. Keep our brothers and sisters in Christ who are under the threat of persecution steadfast in the confession of Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless our President, our governor, all those who make, administer our laws. Bless all judges, that they might make decisions with wisdom. Bless all those in law enforcement, that they might serve and protect their communities in safety of both body and mind. Be with the families of the police officers who were tragically murdered this week. Defend all in our military and give courage to both them and their families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many blessings you have graciously poured out upon us. Give us wisdom to use these gifts rightly. Protect us from all greed and selfishness that would turn any of your gifts into idols. And grant us faithfulness, even in the midst of abundance. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, throughout our nation, our city, and our neighborhoods, children are returning to school. We ask your blessings upon teachers and administrators, parents and students. We ask for a special measure of your blessing upon our school and preschool here at Good Shepherd. Keep us always faithful to your task of preaching and teaching your word in its truth and purity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. Great physician of body and soul, you chasten and you heal. We beg you to show mercy to all of those who are sick and suffering this day. Grant them grace in the midst of their affliction, and if it be your will, healing unto life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for the great gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the gift that He has given us in His Holy Supper. As we join in with the angels and all the host of heaven in lauding and worshiping you, lift up our hearts that we would rightly receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sin. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome in the name of our risen Savior and Lord. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us over the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who gives us unity in this very, very diverse world through Jesus would be yours today and always. We worship God with our gifts and offerings. Thank you. On page 159, what shall I render to the Lord? We stand. Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and
power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lamb of God, You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Body of Christ.
Christ. The body of 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 Christ.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take it easy. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Given unto death and life of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Given and shed for you.
The very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us in the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the common doxology.
Thank you.
be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We'll be back in here in about 5 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening, so kids, get some goodies. You're all invited to join us for goodies in the fellowship hall. We've got one opportunity for adult Bible study today. We'll continue our study of the Lord's Supper, and specifically we'll be looking at that unity and diversity question with regard to the Lord's Supper. So I'll tie in very, very well. Very, very well. School started here at Good Shepherd Tuesday with our school and preschool. You're invited to join us for chapel any Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 8:15 when school is in session. Kids love it when we have extra faces here. Midweek started this last Wednesday, and so our Wednesday evenings will be a little fuller with our confirmation and midweek classes. If you have any questions about that, talk to Pastor Morundi or myself. I see lots of people brought a lot of produce today, tomatoes and cucumbers and peppers and all kinds of stuff. In the fellowship hall, there's a big table, so help yourself to that. And I see Disney sitting at a table.